Welcome to the Farms for Tomorrow podcast. I'm your host, Cliff Scholes. We'll be speaking today with land preservation specialist Barry Lonick, who will share about some exciting new developments in agricultural land preservation. But first, a little background. Barry was featured in a previous Farms for Tomorrow podcast on land conservation, and he brings expertise gained over 30 years conserving farmland and natural areas in and around Washtenaw County, Michigan, now totaling over 8,000 acres. He has also been involved in 11 ballot campaigns, 10 of them successful, which will raise close to $200 million of public funds for the acquisition of land and conservation easements in Washtenaw County. Good to have you back, Barry.
Thanks, Cliff. It's great to be back.
Barry, I understand you've recently been involved in an unusual transaction that will protect a significant piece of farmland near the city of Ann Arbor, Michigan. What did you save here, Barry? Can you paint a picture of this valuable piece of land?
Yeah, this is a 160-acre farm that has been in the same ownership for at least 150 years. It's about 3 miles south of Interstate 94 freeway interchange and about 2 miles west of the city of Ann Arbor city limits. And for those of you who are college football fans, it's about 7 miles from the University of Michigan Stadium. It has prime agricultural soils and locally important soils over almost 100% of the property. It's one of the few places in our glaciated, relatively local landscape here in Southeast Michigan where you can actually see for a long distance. I think it's on the order of 12 to maybe even 15 miles, which is highly unusual in this area of the world. But the soils are very productive for agricultural uses. It's a Fox Sandy loam and a Miami loam. There is a 1870s era barn on the property, along with a house of that same era that are both in good condition, and a few other outbuildings as well. Both parts of the farm have frontage on a paved public road, Zeeb Road, that runs south from Interstate 94, and Sio Church Road, both heavily traveled. So it's a very scenic, very prominent, very historic property.
Wow, that sounds fantastic. So it's on paved roads, it's got interstate access relatively nearby, it's close to the city of Ann Arbor. That's just got to be a prime target for residential development, right?
Absolutely it is. The great thing about prime agricultural soils is they can grow crops really well, but they can also grow septic fields really well. And this is in a highly desirable part of the Ann Arbor community, not far from town, great scenic views, freeway access, all those things work in favor of residential development as well.
So this piece of land has been on your radar for a while, correct?
Yeah, Sio Township, about 10 or 12 years ago, looked at every last parcel that was still available, undeveloped in the township, and rank them by high, medium, and low priority based on criteria that are in the township's ordinance for the land preservation program. And not surprisingly, this property came out at the top end of the agricultural properties for all those reasons that we mentioned a moment ago. And I had made contact with the owner, Mr. April, several times over the course of the last 15 years or so, and I spoke to him a number of times on the phone where he said that he was going to let his kids decide what to do with the property once he passed away. And he was consistent about that over the course of many years. But what came as a surprise to us was to see a site plan for large houses on 5-acre lots show up at the township hall. And it was at that point that we thought he must have passed away. And the kids were following through on his wishes to make the decision, which was to sell to a residential developer.
So I understand that there was a serendipitous event that helped you realize that the property was, in fact, still available.
Yeah, it was about 2 or 3 weeks after the site plan showed up at the township hall. I happened to be unloading wood with a neighbor of mine who is kind enough to deliver the 10 cords I just bought from him. And we just got to talking about various things. And he makes a comment to me along the lines of, well, hasn't residential development slowed down around here? And this was about 2 years ago. And I said, no, this 160-acre farm at the corner of Zeeb and Sio Church just got sold for development. And so, yeah, I think the development's back being hot around here. And it turned out that he knows the farmer who works that ground and said, no, I'm pretty sure that he has a lease again for the coming year. And that development deal, I think, may be off. And so I asked my friend to confirm that, which he did later in the day. And so I thought, well, we've got a chance to pull this off. I did a little sleuthing work at that point. I had already Googled, actually, the the owner of the property, Mr. April, and found that he had passed away several months previously. So I went back to the obituary and found that he had 6 children. All of them were women, and all of them had different last names. They apparently had married at some point in their lives, which is why we could never find the April kids. Whenever I would ask my trustees in the township or my Land Preservation Commission members or anybody, does anybody know the April kids? Because the kids are going to make the decision on this farm, and nobody knew anybody by that name. Well, it turns out that they were all women, and they all got married and had different last names. So I Googled each one of them individually and was able to track down their addresses and phone numbers. And one of those addresses in a little town called South Lyon, Michigan, north of Ann Arbor, matched that of the property owner address that was on the county website for the property. And so I called her up one morning and said, "Hi, I'm this guy. You've never heard of me before. And I run this program and we've got money. And can I make an offer to buy your farm?" And she said, "Yes, you can." And I lost it at that point. Like, holy crap, we could actually do this. So I quickly contacted all of my trustee members of my Land Preservation Commission and others and just said, "We've got a chance to buy this property if we want to, but we've got to act quickly. They've got an offer from a developer." That was on a Saturday, if I remember correctly. The Board of Trustees met the following Tuesday night. This had not been listed on their agenda, which came out on Friday before the meeting. And I was successful in getting it added to the agenda and authorizing me to make them an offer. Whenever we're doing these land preservation projects, we get an independent real estate appraisal to tell us what the value of the property is. We didn't have the time to do that in this case. So I just thought of all the sales that have occurred sometime recently in that area and did a quick calculation and came up with a number. And so I called my trustee friends and said, "Authorize me up to $2.5 million and we'll see what happens." And so within about 3 days, the Board of Trustees, not knowing what we were going to do with this property, authorized me to make that offer on it. So that happened on a Tuesday. On Thursday morning, I had sent the offer off to the trustee that I had spoken to, and she called me back and said, "You're in the ballpark. When can we meet with you?" And I said, "Anytime, day, night, weekend, doesn't matter. You tell me where and when, I'll be there." And so that following Saturday, just a week after I had spoken to her initially, we met at another house that the family owned. 5 of the 6 daughters were able to make that. And I explained to them at that point that the township had this program through a dedicated millage. We've got funds in the bank to make a substantial offer on the property, and we'll keep it as a farm. We'd never done this kind of a deal before, where we've bought a farm. The township has bought land, woods and wetlands and stream frontage as nature preserves, but had never bought a farm before. And so I said, "I don't know what we're going to do with this property, but we will conserve it and ensure that it will remain essentially in the state that it's been since your family has owned it for the last 150 years or more. I'll figure that out later, but in the short term, if you want to sell it, then we will buy it." And they asked, "How quickly can you close?" And that, as it turns out, was based on what the developer had told them. And this is true in many cases with developers, where they might offer you more money, but they're going to give you some money down, and then they're going to punch in some roads and utilities and build some spec houses and sell them, and then they'll get a little bit more money and give it to the family and so forth. So these kinds of deals can stretch out over several years. And unfortunately, sometimes they've fallen apart also. You may remember we had this little recession 10 or 12 years ago, for example, and a lot of folks got left holding the bag on properties like this that were half developed, and they got some of their money, but not all of it. So that's a risk that people take. And that's what they had heard from this developer. And I said, "Well, we can close in 60 days. And they said, "Well, that's a little too fast, actually." And I said, "We'll go whatever pace you want to go at." So through that meeting, we agreed on at least a tentative price for the property and set out to get the approvals from the township board to go ahead with the purchase.
So to save the farm, the only option was for Scio Township to buy the property. But Scio's a township. I mean, they don't want to own a farm. How did you make that work?
Yeah, this is a whole new challenge for me professionally. we knew that we wanted to conserve it. We knew about conservation easements because we've been buying conservation easements for years now on farm properties and natural areas as well, for that matter. So we initially identified a federal program, which is called the Agricultural Conservation Easement Program, ACEP, that is funded through the Farm Bill. Our intent was to apply for that program as a public entity. When the Farm Bill was reauthorized this last time, I think that was 2018, it allowed for the first time, these kinds of deals called buy, protect, sell, where an entity purchases a property, conserves it through a conservation easement, and then flips it to a new owner. The Farm Bill legislation said that the entities that could do that kind of thing and be funded by this program were the, it just said eligible entities, which is what it's always said and has always meant, land conservancies, tribes, and local units of government. So we were figuring that's the way that we're going to be able to fund the easement on this, is get a good chunk of funds from that program. It'll cover up to 50% of the appraised value of the easement. So I thought that would be a good way to get the funding ball rolling, if you will. And then early in the year of last year, 2020, the interim rule that implemented that program, interpreted that program, funded by Congress, came out. And in that case, the eligible entities were limited to the tribes and conservancies, not for local units of government. So that shut down that prospect for us to get a good chunk of the money for a conservation easement on the property. At the same time, we were trying to figure out how do we identify a potential future buyer for the property? Because again, we'd never done this kind of thing before. Those kinds of transactions have happened around Ann Arbor, where the new younger generation of farmers has been able to acquire farmland that's been conserved at a much more affordable rate, but we hadn't done it in this manner previously. So that was another challenge that we were facing. So I was disappointed that we were not going to be eligible for that program. And that's when the second serendipitous thing happened for this property. And that was, again, on a weekend, got a phone call from a very successful local organic farmer, Richard Andrus, whose main farm is called Tantre. He called and said that his mom was selling land in an adjacent county, in a township called Canton, and wanted to use the proceeds for purchasing a farm property somewhere near Ann Arbor and transform it into a demonstration project where they would be growing fruits and vegetables and nuts and restoring some of the property to native grasses and flowers to build some soil health, a regenerative agricultural project. And I should say that when we were first running our ballot campaigns, starting back in 1998 and then through the 2000s, one of the things that we heard most often from people around here was, we don't want to become another Canton. And Canton was the number one producing agricultural township in all of Southeast Michigan back in the day. And there were a couple of efforts to fund essentially a land preservation program in the late 1970s. They got on the ballot twice. They lost by very narrow margins both times. And at that point, the floodgates opened and Canton Township is now just wall-to-wall cookie-cutter subdivisions of giant houses that all look the same and strip malls. It's really unfortunate. And people remember Canton being an agricultural community. And that was one of the rallying cries for us here was, we don't want to become another Canton. So it was ironic that Richard's mom was selling property in Canton Township and wanting to use the proceeds to buy a farm and do a demonstration regenerative agricultural project here in Washtenaw County. So I asked Richard, well, how much money do you got from this sale? And he said $600,000. And that just happened to be the very number that I had been working with in my mind for the value of this April farm after a conservation easement was in place. So in doing a conservation easement, we're buying the right that landowners have to divide their property into smaller parcels and build houses on it and make gravel pits and so forth, the things that would alter the use of the landscape. So we're buying those rights, and then afterwards, the land can be used for agricultural purposes. If there's woods on it, they can manage the woods, they can hunt it, various things like that. They just can't cut it up and build houses on it. So the appraisers have been saying that based on sales of similar kinds of properties, the value of land after an easement's in place is something around $3,000 an acre. At least it was a couple of years ago. It's actually risen recently. So for a 160-acre property, $3,000 an acre comes out to be $480,000. And then there's this house and barn on the property. The barns don't tend to have much value, even though they've got great historical significance and beauty and still functionality, but there's not much value assigned to them in an appraisal. The house was very nice, but I'm sure hadn't been updated in a long time, would need a fair bit of work. And so I had just arbitrarily put a number of $120,000 on that as the value of the house. So 480 plus 120 is 600,000. And that's exactly the number that Richard's mom had available from this sale of this other property. So that was great news. It was like, well, this is potentially a great match for us. And this was in February of last year, 2020. The deadline for the federal ASAP program was the end of March, March 31 of last year. And so we had to scramble to see if it was possible to sell the property to Richard's father's trust. His father's passed away, but it's the Frederick Andrus Trust that had the money that was going to be used. So we had to figure out, can we actually transfer the ownership to the Andrus Trust in time for the application deadline for this federal grant program, so a private landowner would be the owner and would be eligible for the program. That was our next challenge there.
So what happened next?
So the Andrus Trust, as I said, had $600,000 available, but we bought this property for $2.3 million. And the difference is the value of the development rights that would be conveyed through the conservation easement. And so we asked the trust to find a loan in the short term to be able to cover the $1.7 million difference. And Richard's mom, Lois, who's the trustee of the Andrus Trust, is a delightful, spunky, 80-something-year-old woman. And she said, at my age, I'm not going to go to the bank and get a $1.7 million loan. I don't care how certain you are this funding is going to come through. And that was a very reasonable statement for her to make. But in the absence of having some security that the township could rely on, we were reluctant to go ahead. And as I said earlier, also, I had never done this kind of deal before. So I always receive legal review of any of the documents that we draft and make sure that I'm not missing anything and everything's been covered. I leaned much more heavily in this case on our attorney, who's a gentleman named Joseph Fazio from the firm of Miller Canfield Paddock and Stone. It's located in Ann Arbor, headquartered, but has offices in other parts of Michigan and beyond. And Mr. Fazio's comment to me was, well, the township could be the bank. And that was the sound of my head exploding. Like, what now? He said, yeah, the township could be the one that lends, essentially, the $1.7 million to the Andrus Trust to be able to complete this purchase. But that loan, if you will be subject to purchase agreements by the trust to sell conservation easements on the property when the township assembles the funding to do so. And I said, well, that's fantastic. I wonder if the township board will go for that. And that's one of the things I want to emphasize in this podcast also is the leadership of the Scioto Township Board of Trustees, an elected 7-person body. They recognized the importance and the significance of the April farm. And so when we came to them initially and said, we're going to spend $2.3 million on this property to buy it, and we don't know what we're going to do with it, they said, we understand. This is too important to let go by. And they approved us making that purchase of the farm. So now we're going back to them a second time and saying, we've got another thing we want to do here that the township's never done before, where the township will be the mortgage holder, the bank, for a couple of mortgages on the April Andrus farm. And the mortgages will be payable when we assemble funding for a conservation easement. And they agreed to do that as well, to their great credit. So we entered into a flurry of activity then in February into March of last year. And y'all might remember that something else happened in March of last year. Oh yeah, this little pandemic came on. And so we had to have remote meetings and all kinds of things that were atypical for how we usually run our lives applied here as well. So with great diligence and effort, we were able to write up all of these documents, get all the approvals from the township board, and from the Andrus Trust and their attorneys and so forth. And I think it was on March 28th or 29th of last year, we were successful in making the sale of the property from Scioto Township to the Andrus Trust for $600,000 and mortgages, one for each of the two 80-acre parcels, and purchase agreements, one for each of the two 80-acre parcels, so that they would then sell us the easements to pay off the mortgages. And with the ownership of the property then in the hands of the Andrus Trust, before the federal deadline of March 31st, we were able to apply the property and have it be considered. There's two different federal programs that we end up applying to. One of them was the one I mentioned earlier, the Agricultural Conservation Easement Program, which is an annual competitive funding round. Every state in the country gets a certain amount of money appropriated to them, and each state's Department of Agriculture, actually it's the Natural Resources Conservation Service part of USDA, operates that program. And anybody, land conservancies, local units of government, and I think tribes also, can apply for those funds. And every property is scored individually, and they start at the top of the list with whoever scores the best, and then go down the list until they run out of money. And in Michigan, it's typically about $1.6 million that's available through that program. So we applied the east 80 acres of the Andrus property to the ASEP program, the competitive round. And then the west 80 was funded through a different program that's called Resource Conservation Partnership Program, or RCPP, also funded by the Farm Bill. But this was one where a group of local partners, Washtenaw County Parks and the Ann Arbor Greenbelt, the three townships that I represent, Scioto, Webster, and Ann Arbor, and a few other partners banded together, put forth a proposal, and had about $1 million dedicated just for our use to buy agricultural conservation easements in our area. So we don't have to compete with others for that RCPP funds. It's just available for those partners that signed on. So we were able to apply for the RCPP program for the west 80 acres of the property, and we knew those funds were guaranteed, but the east 80 acres was in that competitive round. So we had to wait then until July, about almost 4 months later, to find out whether we got an award for the east 80. And I'm pleased to say that we did for that as well. And so between the two of them, we got a big chunk of the purchase price for these easements, about $700,000 of the $1.7 million that was needed to come from those two federal programs.
Last time that you were on Farms for Tomorrow, you went into depth about conservation easements. They seem to be central in this situation. Can you tell us about those and how conservation easements and development rights work in a situation like this?
Yeah, so as a private landowner, people own certain rights to the property. They own the right to divide it into smaller parcels and build houses on it. They had the right to hunt on it. They have the right to make a gravel pit on it. There's all kinds of things that they can do subject to local zoning that could change or alter the use or appearance of the property. And those rights are individual in that they could be severed or separated from other rights in the property and still have somebody own the property and all the rest of those rights. So we commonly call those the development rights, the ability to divide, to build houses, to make a gravel pit, to drain wetlands, to clear cut a woods, and so forth. The things that would harm the conservation values of the property, which we consider to be the scenic views and the agricultural soils, the wildlife habitat, the water quality protection, and so forth. Those are the conservation values that undisturbed land or working farmland provides to all of us. So in a conservation easement, the landowner says, okay, I'm willing to give up these certain rights, to convey them to another party, to say, I'm willing to no longer have the option of dividing the property into smaller parcels and to build houses on it or to sell to a developer that would do that kind of thing or build a gravel pit. I'm willing to convey those rights. Those rights can be donated or they can be sold. And what we've been doing with our locally funded programs here in Washtenaw County is to pay for the value of those rights in the conservation easement transaction. So we hired an independent real estate appraiser. We asked that person to tell us what the value of the land is for its development potential. And depending on the location and soils and other factors, that can be around here as much as $14,000 an acre. And then he does a second evaluation of the property. What would it be worth if the property could not be used for those other purposes and was only available for agriculture and open space uses? And it's been about $3,000 an acre, but there's been some sales here recently of properties, conserved properties, that have been selling for about $3,500 an acre. So those are sales that go from one farmer to another farmer. And what my farmer friends tell me is that's a good price for them to pay. They can make money off of a property that they buy at even $3,500 an acre. So in the course of the easement transaction, the landowner says, I'm giving up these rights and I'm taking that payment from you. We signed this conservation easement document that says those are the rights that are no longer applicable. And these are the ones you still retain, which is the right to convey the property and to farm it and to manage a woodlot and so forth, hunt the property. And that conservation easement, glorified deed restriction, runs with the property in perpetuity. Once it gets signed and the payment gets made, that deed gets recorded at the County Register of Deeds. And so anybody who owns the property from there on out has to abide by that agreement, whether it's the person that did the original transaction or somebody in their family that they pass it on to or an entirely different person, doesn't matter. That restriction runs with the property in perpetuity. The job of the grantee entity, Scioto Township or a land conservancy or the Ann Arbor Greenbelt Program, is to ensure that that agreement is being upheld in perpetuity. And so generally that means that we contact the landowner once a year and say, it's time for our annual monitoring visit to the property. Is there a good time to come? Do you want to come along? And then follow that up with a phone call and then a visit to the property where we do a walk around and just say, yep, there's no houses here. There's no gravel pits. There's no strip malls. The woods are still standing and so forth. Everything looks fine. And we sign a report indicating that it checks out for that year. We stick it in the file and say, see you next year. Certainly, if something either comes up on that monitoring visit or through some other encounter, if I happen to be driving past a property and said, hey, wait a minute, there's not supposed to be a house there, then we have the standing in the conservation easement to pursue the restoration of the property to the condition that it was in at the time that the easement was conveyed. Sometimes in an easement, we do permit certain other things to happen, like we'll include a building envelope where if there's not a house on the property currently and the owner or the grantor either wants to build a house or have the option for somebody in the future to build a house on the property, then we say this is where that would occur. We actually get a survey and say, here's the building envelope. It's 2.07 acres, and that's where you can build a house, anywhere within that 2 acres. And generally speaking, agricultural buildings are also confined to a building envelope, whether it includes a residence or not. We don't want buildings and other structures to be scattered across the property. It's not conducive to agriculture in many instances, but part of the emphasis of these programs is the scenic qualities of the property. Because these are privately owned properties and not accessible to the public, at least by setting foot on it, the public can still ride a bike past the property or drive a car past the property and be able to see scenic views. And they're putting money through these local millages into the program. And so it's nice to give that additional benefit. We're all benefiting from the wildlife habitat and the carbon storage and sometimes the food that's grown on the property and so forth. That's all great. But it's also nice to be able to say, this scenic landscape here in front of you is going to stay that way. There's never going to be houses on it. There's not even going to be other structures necessarily in some cases. So the easement then specifies all of that. We sign it, we record it, it runs forever, we make a payment, we ensure that that agreement's being upheld forever, and hopefully there's no problems and everything goes well.
These conservation easements were the product of a lot of work, concerted community efforts with ballot initiatives in multiple townships and units of government. And it took a long time to put this in place. Can you give us some background on how this happened?
Yeah, so I started doing land conservation work here in Washtenaw. It'll be 30 years this coming June. I like to say when I was a teenager and roll my eyes because I'm a little older than that. I got invited to be on the board of this local land conservancy that had a $1,500 budget for the whole year and no staff people, but just really fell in love with the work and saw how it could apply to what had become my adopted community here around Ann Arbor. helped build that organization into something that was reasonably effective, still exists, is going strong. Did that over the course of 10 years. But one of the things that I heard over and over again from especially farmland owners was, God, I really like this idea of the conservation easement. I don't want to see my land get developed. I don't want to leave it to the kids and have them screw it up. But the land trust was barely affording me part-time and then eventually as a full-time person. We didn't have any money to buy land or easements. And so the farmer owners would say, if I could get paid for that conservation easement, then maybe we could do something. And I started researching and finding that there were publicly funded land preservation programs in other parts of the country, nothing really much around here in Michigan at that point, and that they'd had great success. State programs in New Jersey and Massachusetts and New York, other places like that, Pennsylvania, had been around for a long time. They'd had statewide bond proposals that won with a high percentage of voter support, as well as local funding. And so I thought, well, that's what we need to do here. We need to have public funding for these things and start an effort to convince initially the Washtenaw County Board of Commissioners to put something on the ballot to fund it. And we started making that appeal in 1996, quite a long time ago. Got our first proposal on the ballot in 1998 and unfortunately lost that one in a very well-funded campaign by the developers who were opposed to it. But we learned our lessons from that and came back a couple of years later with the first Washtenaw County Natural Area Preservation Program ballot proposal that won with 67%, I think, of the vote that year, that created that program for the first 10 years. And then followed that up 3 years later in 2003 with the City of Ann Arbor Greenbelt Program, which is paid for by residents of the City of Ann Arbor. But 2/3 of the funds can be used outside of the city limits. Again, those folks said, we don't want Canton surrounding us. And so we're willing to put our money into conserving landscape outside the city limits of Ann Arbor, which is extraordinary. And that proposal won with 67% of the vote. So that was a huge opportunity to work with landowners in that defined geographic area just outside the Ann Arbor city limits. That same year in 2003, Ann Arbor Township, which had mostly been annexed by the city over the course of the last couple hundred years, put its own proposal on the ballot for what was remaining of their community in terms of open space lands. And that proposal passed with 80% support. 4 out of 5 people agreed to tax themselves for a new program, which is extraordinary also. And then that led the Scioto Township Board to put a proposal on the ballot the following year in 2004. And that passed with flying colors. And then the following year, 2005, was when Webster Township, which is the most rural township in our area that has a funded land preservation program, they also succeeded with that vote. I think it was a 60% support for that first ballot proposal. So suddenly, within a couple years' time, we had 5 publicly funded programs here in Washtenaw County, and there are 8 total in the entire state of Michigan that are funded by local sources. There's 2 townships around Traverse City, and there's Ingham County in the center of the state, which is over by where the state capital of Lansing is located. So out of 8 funded programs statewide, we have 5 of them here in this community, and opportunities for a lot of partnerships and cost sharing among projects. So for example, the entirety of Ann Arbor Township is included in the Ann Arbor Greenbelt area, and about 1/3 of Webster Township, and about 2/3 of Scioto Township. And of course, the Washtenaw County program covers the entire county. So there have been a number of projects where a township and the city and the county have collaborated on funding, either for an easement or a land purchase. And then we've also been able to attract these other federal funding sources. And so sometimes there are 4 different funding sources that go into an individual purchase. And we've also had great success with landowners willing to say, I'm going to accept for my payment for this conservation easement less than the appraised value. So let's just say that the easement was worth $100,000. They say, I'm willing to take $90,000 instead of $100,000. And so they become part of the funding picture as well. And they're able to use the difference between the appraised value and the sale price as a federal income tax deduction that could be spread out over as many as 16 years. So they get some money back on their taxes, or they pay quite as much taxes on that. So they don't get all of the money back. They're still selling for less than what the appraised value said. But a lot of folks that I've worked with have said they've lived in this community a long time and their family's been here a long time. And they just consider that to be part of what they do as a member of the community to not only do the sale, because they don't have to do that. They could hold on to it or sell it to a developer, but they take it a step further and say, we're willing to do it for less than what the appraiser says it's worth. So I consider that to be a fifth funding source. So sometimes we have five different sources of funding that go into it. So at any rate, we put all these together and purchase lands and purchase conservation easements. And it goes back 25 years from when we first started talking about these things and the efforts of many people over that time. And then the great working relationships that we've developed between the land conservancies that operate here in the county and in all the publicly funded programs. We talk to each other. We like each other. You know, we work well together. We cost share. And by virtue of doing that, we're able to spread out all of our individual funds that much further and accomplish that much more.